Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you have your Bible handy. You'll enjoy reading this story of Esther with me as we go through this study. I'm going to read the entirety of the book of Esther. I started that in the last class period, and we're going to continue that today in Esther chapter 1 and verse 20. So be turning there in your Bibles. And while you are looking at the book of Esther, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're about to have class session 92. And this is the second class session on the book of Esther. And I'm reading the story of the book of Esther from the American Standard Version. Let me read to you the captions that are at the top of my translation of this story in the Old Testament. And by the captions, it kind of serves as a review of where we have been and where we are going. The caption says, "The Feast of Ahasuerus. Queen Vashti refuses to attend it. She is therefore disposed. A substitute is sought for, and Esther is chosen to be queen." And at this point, we have read that Ahasuerus had a great feast to show off the power and might of his kingdom that stretched from India to Ethiopia. And he was drinking. That's what got him into trouble, just like a lot of drunks. They start drinking, and they start doing foolish things. And that's what Ahasuerus did. Ahasuerus had a beautiful queen in Vashti, but in his drunken state after he'd been drinking, it perverted his judgment. And he wanted Vashti to show all these drunks that were in his garden her beauty. And she refused. And I can't blame her for refusing. Now, it cost her to refuse, but I tell you, Vashti is honored for her modesty and her courage to say no. And ladies today ought to have the courage to say no when it comes to revealing themselves before a bunch of drunks. You would think ladies would have that much judgment. But I'll tell you what, I see ladies walking around sometime of their own will, and the way they are dressed, it is immodest. You know, the word naked doesn't always mean no clothes at all. If you'll remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, when they saw that they were naked, they made themselves clothes of fig leaves. I guess they panicked, and fig leaves were the nearest thing, because I don't know how you dress in fig leaves. But they grabbed some fig leaves and tried to make clothes and hide their nakedness in their fig leaves. And then they heard God coming in the garden in the cool of the day. And God called for them and says, "Why have you hid yourselves from me?" And they said, "It's because we're naked." Well, they weren't unclothed. They had on clothes. They had clothes made out of fig leaves. But it was not proper clothing. If you ever walk around McMinnville sometime and you look, you'll see some ladies walking around naked. It doesn't mean they don't have clothes on. It means they're not properly clothed. And these ladies ought to have more discretion than that and be as noble and as beautiful as this Queen Vashti, who refused to reveal her beauty to a bunch of drunks. And some of the ladies in McMinnville should refuse to expose themselves to the men on the streets. And I tell you, ladies, the way some of you look and the way that you're dressed, it is not beauty that men are going to think about. Because some of you, the way you dress, it is not at all complimentary. In fact, it is disgraceful. And so Vashti is one of the heroes of the Old Testament, because she had the courage to say no. But upon that, she was going to lose her role as a queen. And in Esther chapter 1 and verse 20, we read this: "When the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his kingdom, for it is great, All the wives will give to their husbands honor, both to the great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Mermukin. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and should speak according to the language of his people. Well, when I read that and know that that's what the wise men told the drunk king to do, I don't think they were very wise. You might call this the story of the foolish wise men. But now let's look to Esther chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was pacified, he remembered Vashti, and what she had done, and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, and to the custody of Higgai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let other things for their purification be given to them, and let the maiden that pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. There was a certain Jew in Shushan the palace, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jairi, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, who Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was fair and beautiful. And when her father and mother were dead, Mordecai took her for his own daughter. And so it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Higgai, that Esther was taken into the king's house to the custody of Higgai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her the things for her purification, with her portions, and with the seven maidens who were meet to be given out to her of the king's house. And he removed her and her maidens to the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not made known her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not make it known. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what would become of her. Now when the turn of every maiden was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that it had been done to her according to the law for the women 12 months, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months of oil and myrrh, and 6 months of sweet odors, and with things for the purifying of the women. Then in this wise came the maiden into the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women into the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned to the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheshgaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Higgai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of them all that looked upon her. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the seventh year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and kindness in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, and all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces, and gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai was sitting in the king's gate. And Esther had not yet made known her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai was sitting in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those that kept the threshold, were wroth and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the thing became known to Mordecai, who showed it to Esther the queen. And Esther told the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found to be so. They were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. That is Esther chapter 2. Now, in the time remaining, we'll look at Esther chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. I want you to notice who we've met so far in this story. We've met Ahasuerus, the bumbling king. We've met Vashti, the beautiful queen, that said no. And we've met Mordecai, the Jew. And we have met Esther, but now we meet this wicked man, Haman. And Haman was promoted in the kingdom. Esther chapter 3 and verse 2. All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed down and did reverence to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants that were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, "Why transgressest thou the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. But he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is, the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, which is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad, dispersed among the peoples of the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from those of every people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the king's business, to bring it into the king's treasury." And the king took his ring from his hand, and gave it unto Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, "The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as seemeth good to thee." We're going to have to stop here. We'll take up in our next class at Esther chapter 3 and verse 12. And so mark that in your Bibles, and you want to hear how this story comes out. So make sure you're ready the next time we begin the Warren County Radio Bible School.